In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Titus chapter 3. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared to man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And from Colossians chapter 2, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God. And lastly, from Matthew chapter 18, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to them, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to be scandalized, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." This morning, at the baptism of little Madison Naoma DiBella, we peer into the very heart of God, and we see that He is Lord of the little and Lord of the lowly. He did not come to earth as a glorious king, riding upon a celestial beam of light with angel symphonies and eyes as burning flames. Instead, He emptied Himself, taking on the form of a servant, setting aside His infinite majesty and power. The Lord of the universe became man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. The Lord of the universe, now an embryo, now a fetus, cradled in a lowly handmaiden's womb. He humbled Himself, the ancient hymn tells, to be born of a virgin, the zygote Lord, the embryo Lord, the fetus Lord, the newborn nursing Lord, thereby sanctifying the holy office of infant, giving infinite value to this little girl here and her humble little office, an office of child, an office that by its very nature does nothing but simply receive, to be washed, held, fed, cared for. It's an office that adults so little esteem. In ancient times, adults sacrificed their young ones to appease bloodthirsty gods. Having become so much more advanced, we now sacrifice our young ones to ideals. We sacrifice our young ones to the god of human choice, to the god of ideal genetic health, to the god of sexual freedom, the god of financial stability. And the wisest minds out there share the sentiment of Dr. House, who refers to the gestating baby as a parasite. The world is merciless to the weak and the least. But the Lord is merciful to these little and lowly ones. He became as they, that He might also be their Lord, taking their flesh into himself on Christmas morn. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, incarnate deity. Taking on the lowliest human form, so that he might also bear their sin and be their Savior. In sin, their mothers conceived them, and each little one bears Adam's curse and that cursed wage that is death. But the Lord Almighty humbled himself to save these little ones who are precious in his sight, to undo that ancient curse, to grant to them eternal life. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. He is the Lord of the little, the Lord of the lowly. And so he has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty. He does this in his own incarnation. He does this when he takes a little child into his own hands and sets it in the midst of the wise and mighty disciples, saying, "You who are wise and mighty must become like this little child, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. For heaven is not for those who strive to be the greatest in the kingdom, or those who desire to be served as sophisticated religious lords. Heaven is for the little child, for the humble believer who does nothing but simply receive." God does not desire the adultish customs and man-made traditions that we invent to please him. Instead, he desires that each take on the characteristics of a lowly little child, for these bear the office that simply receives. From your loving hands, Ray and Kristen, your daughter simply receives all that she has. And this is the model that teaches us about our heavenly family. Whether you are old or young, mature in the faith or newborn, we all have one heavenly Father. Our Father, we pray. Our office as child of God is simply to receive. And our Father desires to wash each little one in baptism, to clothe each little one in Christ, to feed each little one with the bread of life, to shelter each little one in his church, just as he has done even for you, older, wiser Christian children. Why do some grown-up Christian children try to stop our Father from washing his younger little children in baptism? Why do the disciples try to stop the parents from bringing their little ones to Jesus? Why do theologians design silly systems to explain why children don't need Jesus and can't have faith? It is simply our sinful nature to discount and despise all who are least and all who are lowly, covering our own sinful bias up with pious lies. But Jesus loves the little ones and the lowly ones. He rebukes those wise theologians, saying, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin will wish that he was never born." And Jesus rebukes those disciples, saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And with these very same words and more, he rebukes Christians who follow these lies and prevent their own children from being washed by our Heavenly Father. They stand between the Lord and his dear technon, his dear paideon, his dear micron, the little ones whom he himself has formed in their mother's wombs. Do you not know that he is Lord of the little, Lord of the lowly? Blessed are you, Ray and Kristen, and blessed is your daughter. For you have heard the Lord of the lowly say, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have given. You have heard your Lord's voice, and you have not discriminated against your little one of this nation. You have not denied your daughter baptism in the name of Jesus, as Scripture says, for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise, Peter tells us, is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. The world despises the lowly because it despises the lowly voice of the Lord. But that does not mean that Christ forsakes those who have despised him or his word, nor does he desire the death of the wicked, or that any would be condemned. He calls all, every single one, to forsake their own wisdom, their own philosophies, and their own self-righteousness. He calls all to humble themselves in repentance and to confess their sins, for he is the Lord of the humble and repentant, the Lord of the poor and spirit, the Lord of the little and lowly. He comes even for those who have been guilty of despising the lowly. He comes for those who have advocated abortion, for those who have hurt their children, for those who have refused to baptize their child. He comes for tired and frustrated parents, for parents who have made terrible mistakes. He carries every single sin to the cross. And there, in lowliness and humility, he lays down his life for all, for you, that through the lowliness of death itself, he might bring an end to death for all. And so this very morning, Ray and Kristen, the Lord of the little and the Lord of the lowly, is giving your daughter the eternal benefits of his own death. Or do you not know, St. Paul writes to the Romans, that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. And to the Colossians, Paul also shows that baptism is for little ones, by comparing baptism to a circumcision without hands, a circumcision that God himself works, removing from us our fleshy sins and fleshy death, making us alive in the covenant of Christ, forgiving all of our trespasses on Christ's account. Baptism is our Lord's own mighty spiritual work, hidden under the lowly forms of a little water and a little pastor's voice, or a pastor's little voice. The greatest heavenly gifts and promises that one can receive are hidden under lowly water and lowly word, even as the Godhead himself is hidden under human flesh. Hidden in lowly things, the Lord encourages you to follow him into lowliness, into the lowliness of work and vocation, into the lowliness, Ray and Kristen, of diapers and spit up and sleepless nights, into the lowliness of the all too mundane present and the tasks at hand, into washing and clothing and feeding and sheltering your little daughter. Even though she doesn't ask for it or choose it, you gladly do everything that your daughter needs, even as her Father in heaven does for her this very morning. For our God is the God of lowliness, of the little and the least, coming not as a mighty and righteous king to condemn you, but as a lowly lamb to take away your sin. His throne, a manger, then a cross. His mother, a lowly handmaiden, his stepfather, a lowly carpenter, and both parents have their flaws. His sermons of common birds and field lilies, his hands touching the sick, touching the dying and the dead, his hands embracing lowly little children and washing dirty disciple feet, his feast of wine and bread, the lowly things under which he hides himself, body and blood, his crown of thorns, his robe of mockery and scorn, his highest glory to be lifted up upon a shameful cross, his family, a whole throng of lowly and grateful sinners. So, young lady, we welcome you to our lowly family, and we can't wait to teach you even more about our lowly Lord, who has loved you so much that he himself was baptized with a sinner's baptism, so that you might be baptized in his righteousness for the fulfilling of all righteousness. Little Madison, in baptism our Lord joins himself to you, a little lowly water and a little lowly word. And though you yourself are also little and lowly, you are his, and all that is his, he gives to you. So as you are baptized this day, you will hear no ethereal angel choirs, and you will see no heavenly light coming down in beams. But even so, your heart may be at peace, young lady, because you know that your Lord is the Lord of little and lowly things. In Jesus' name, amen.